So you thought you would be hot shit.
I was not.
And then hot you got to high school.
Shit.
You was ashy.
Bruh. Bruh, I was so ashy. It's so embarrassing. I didn't even know. I'm like, girls these days, they have it so easy with YouTube because YouTube shows them how to do makeup and stuff. I didn't have that. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pal Talk Real Talk. This is Henny and Emily.
Hey. How's it going?
I mean, you don't really know much about us yet, but I mean, you will. Just give us some time.
It's our first episode, so welcome.
Welcome
to all of our listeners.
Oh, my God. Okay, you know, honestly, isn't it surprising that this is 2019? We've approached 2019. Like, 2018, like 2018 for me was a really great year.
First time I heard that.
To you, it might not have been the best year, but for me, I was a cruising. I discovered earlier this year that I made a 2018 letter to myself, and I wanted to read it because I think it's really important to write letters to yourself, see if goals that you can accomplish. Mm-hmm. So basically, my introduction was, you know, you ain't that bitch that makes a letter and shit, but let this be a reminder to you, ho. This is the set of things you should accomplish by the end of the year, inshallah, to be a more enlightened being. Ooh. 1, be better with God always. 2, get back on your career path. Figure out what you want to do and go for it. Write your content. Develop your work. No matter what anyone thinks, know that you're that bitch. Ooh. 3, get your body right. I didn't do that. For real, it's been 25 years. That ass better be popping by that birth month, which is March.
That ass was definitely
I had a picture inserted underneath it. It's like, can a man just say those 3 magic words to you for once? And it says, fuck, you're thick. 4, be better with people. Trust, love, and support those who've supported you, and avoiding toxic people that solely want to bring you down. Trash them, sis.
Ooh, facts.
5, take vacations. Go skydiving. Make the most out of this year. Hell, just create some memories.
Wait, pause. Did you say... You literally have skydiving in there?
I do.
You really did?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know. We went indoor skydiving.
I had no idea.
I know. I was surprised because, I had no idea. I look back at this and I was surprised about the stuff I wrote.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You legit had skydiving in there.
Yep.
The story behind the skydiving story basically is
we went on vacation.
And we're just passing by an indoor skydiving. And I said, hey, let's just go skydiving. It was like $70.
Yep, so and we
like,
did
okay,
it.
Okay, cool. And then we did it. It was so awesome.
It was totally spur of the moment, moving from one Airbnb to another Airbnb at 10 in the morning. Let's go skydiving kind
that
of thing.
Is true.
But even though technically, I mean, it counts because you did do the whole skydiving thing. Yeah,
it counts.
I also said, hell, just create some memories. 6 is working on my bad habits. We cannot take any more L's, baby girl. We just can't. And then I wrote 7, last but not least, always put yourself first. Take care of your mental health, love yourself, treat yourself, stan yourself. Don't change for anybody. You are more than enough. Nobody's going to love you the way you love you. And I can't wait to come back and read. Can't wait to come back at the end of the year and see this. And I did.
How was it?
It was on my notes and I'm very proud. I did everything but step 3. I couldn't get my body right. It just was not cooperating. You know what? It's okay.
That's 1 out of 7 though.
Yeah. 1 out of 7
so
that
you
I did.
Accomplished 6 of your goals.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
How do you feel?
Surprised because I didn't even know about all this stuff. And I think I was just, this was the year I was just living my life. Like, I wasn't too worried about responsibilities and stuff because I just didn't care at that. I mean, like, I was just, my main priority was just to get my shit together. And surprisingly, I made some fun along the way that I guess inadvertently resulted in me fixing all of having a check mark on all of the stuff I did. And I'm just like, wow, like, that's impressive as shit.
That I'm surprised at the skydiving thing. You just wrote it and actually happened. And it happened by
March. It happened in March. Yeah. So it was 3 months in. And I guess.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. It's 3 months into that new year. And you went skydiving?
And I didn't even know. That's what you got to do. You just got to.
I'm going to take this tip. I'm gonna follow it.
I think you should.
Because I didn't make any, I did not, I don't believe in New Year's goals. I believe in monthly goals.
People who start their resolutions, they usually give up the first few weeks, couple months most.
I think because people make such grand changes, and in order to make a change, you always have to start off small.
Exactly. I think you know, I think since I had such a really bad 2017, I was trying to go into 2017 with a more positive outlook. 2018 with a more positive outlook. And I guess to just stop caring about what others thought of me and focus on my life. And who knew that, you know, you do what you got to do. So 2019, I really want people to write a letter to themselves and speak their authentic truths. Seven things that you want to do. Just write them down. And then you'd be surprised when you look back at your notes at the end of the year and you're just like, what? I did that. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think after, because my 2018, I don't even recognize 2018. I said, bye. I don't know you. I don't know what happened. That's the one year that I will never talk about.
That's the dark years?
It's just, it was, I don't want to hear about
it. Like the black plague.
It is. It basically is. It is the black plague to me. But you know what? Since I've had such a troubling 2018, I think that I actually will take your advice and I will do like goals. Not just goals. I would say I would do things, life changes, whatever.
Just write some stuff that you want
to
do.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. As like challenging as this year was, it was the most eventful year of my life. Like I did so many things. Yeah. So I traveled a lot more too. Like I did so many things. So I would say, you know, 2018, never talking about you ever again. Mm. But I appreciate the lessons, I guess, I learned, because every month I was learning something.
It was from the L's that you were taking. It was just
back to back.
We were
to
learning. Back.
But you know what? It is what it is. I'm at a better place. We ain't never mentioned that year ever again. If my kids ever ask me, I don't know what that year is. That's the one year it's off limits. You know how every parent has something that's off limits?
Yeah.
Mine's just don't fight inside of my house. If you guys want to fight, go outside and fight. I'm not stopping your fight.
Okay.
That's my thing. Don't fight in my house. You can go fight outside.
Go fight outside.
Go fight outside.
Be the Bad Girls Club outside.
It just literally, I'm like, don't touch anything in the house. If you want to fight, go. I will never stop my kids from fighting, though. What? I'm like, go ahead.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I had to learn how to fight at a young ass age.
You have to.
I had to learn how to fight. When these little kids are teasing you, like, I had to learn how to fight at a young age. So, knock a few buck.
Teaches them. It's life lessons. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm like, go ahead.
I'm not all for violence, but, I mean, I'm all for self-defense.
Word.
All right, let's get into the topic. I'm really excited. What is this topic called? I think you had a really cool name for it.
Yes. If you guys recall MTV's True Life, this is what I call True Life. Dun, 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 dun.
You know we have special effects. You don't have to write.
Dun, 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 dun.
I have the sound effect for that.
It's True Life called Adulting.
Adulting.
Me and Henny are going to talk about what we went through basically like in high school too, because it was high school and then it's also what is college and also post-grad.
This is the True Life I gotta get my shit together
for real
episode.
Like I've been trying, but this time I'm actually trying.
You say you want to do it, but this time you gotta do it. It's that Everest commercial. You got that Everest college commercial
that attacked me as an elementary school. It attacked me. I felt like a bomb.
You skipped the school.
Look at you right now,
eating your cereal, watching TV right now when you could be going to Everett College, bro, signing up for those classes, Mari. Making a better life for yourself. I was like,
sir, relax. You know how Young Thug says, relax.
Relax.
That's relax on the Everest commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, yeah, it's going to be True Life. It's about us talking about being adults and gravitating into adult life and basically responsibilities I don't want to take care of, but I got to take care of, like credit score this year.
Ugh.
That's if you don't pay your student loans on time, guess what's gonna happen?
And they will call you so quick. I changed my number. I think I gave him my original first phone number, and I've had like 5 cell phone numbers since then, and I gave him my OG number. And when I was calling to talk to them about stuff, they're like, oh, is your number 4? I was like, yeah, totally. Mm. Of course. I do not want you guys harassing me.
I didn't know they harassed you because I gave them our house number, which is, it's still, you know, here's the thing. Our house number exists because of our internet.
But you guys don't have a landline.
But we don't have a landline. So I give them my house number.
See, anything to technically say that you gave them something, but then didn't give them, like, I gave them an email that I never use. Like,
oh, that's true.
Like, I think I was in school when I was filling out the paperwork and stuff, and I just wanted to get it over with as quick as I can. We have to name your beneficiary, or like, you have to name somebody to contact. I was like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's going to contact you to contact about me. They don't care about me. My parents put me in the bottom of the list. They said, we'll worry about you later. We're just glad you got a degree.
We're proud of you. Now start taking responsibilities.
Ain't that the worst? You don't even know that you're suddenly the role of being a child is switched over. You're now the parent.
You know, here's the thing. I will give you guys a tip. If your parents go back home and they're going on vacation and whatever responsibility they leave you with, you will do that responsibility until, like, to me, when my mom went to Somalia to go visit, she gave me all the bills to take care of, and she said, hey, here's everything, make sure you're paying. Bro, that was like 5 years ago. To this day, I'm still paying the bills, and I make sure everything's taken care of in my house. Whatever responsibility, I'm telling you, whatever responsibility they leave you with while they go on vacation, that is your responsibility for the rest of your life. African parents will always find something for you to do.
Mm-hmm. I was the IT girl since I was six. Came to America, that girl who knows how to put cables together.
Yeah.
Oh my God, go call Henny. She needs to fix my computer. Oh my God, go call Henny. She needs to mount this TV. Oh my God, I was like sick of them. I just want to play outside. Like, for real, I was so mad. But yeah, once you get stuck with something or they know you as something, they will never let that go.
Oh my God. You don't want to be good at anything at your house.
I've learned that. I hate that. I'm so
good. I burned like chicken nuggets and they never asked me to do anything.
They don't ask me to cook. I burned spaghetti and they said no. Absolutely never. Not.
I'm really good at cleaning. And I like cleaning.
I can't wait till we move in together and you love that part and I love making a mess for you to clean up. I actually cook at my job, so I learned how to do cooking. It's like a win-win relationship.
How about this? I like to clean when I feel like cleaning.
I hope that is every day because I might need you.
Every other day. I like, you know what I think? I like cleaning on Saturdays than Sundays.
I prefer Sundays.
No, because here's the thing. Saturdays, the reason why, Sundays is a relaxed day for me and I want to be chill all day. And Saturday is always a productive day rather than Sunday, right?
That's true.
And then Sunday is right next to Monday. But I feel like Saturday mornings, nobody really doing anything on Saturday mornings like that. So I take care of everything. I clean more on Saturday mornings. So then on Sunday, I'm cruise through. I'm chilling.
If I have the weekend off though, like I go out or like I sleep in or something and I sleep until 3, like I don't want to be disturbed on Saturday. Instead, I'd rather just focus on like doing all my work on Sunday and getting that shit taken care of. I want to be done by afternoon. But they're all adult tasks.
Responsibilities. I didn't want them, but they came to me. You ever had something that just doesn't want to leave you alone and you like, how we gotta break up? You'll never break up with being an adult. It's like responsibilities. Just, you think every single time that you're done with something, guess what? Being an adult, it's in a constant state of never being done with anything. Like, it just grows. Like, how do people like deal with it?
I don't know. I figure, you know, normal people just drink it, you know. I just sleep my way through everything.
Yeah.
I just sleep. I sleep the responsibilities until the last day when they're ready to cut my cell phone bill. And I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm alive.
Hey, buddy. Relax. So this is true life.
True life. Adulting. Dun, dun, dun.
Da, 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 da.
Speak it. Set the scene.
It's two girls right here.
Okay. 3,000 degrees.
Okay.
Set the scene. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for you to set it. But you're not doing it. Okay, with two girls.
Talk with a podcast.
With a podcast.
Our first episode.
Episode. Tell it.
I'm doing it.
Do it.
True life.
What's going on?
We adulting.
Oh, that's right.
All right.
Well, I don't know. That was a whole mess. I'm a big fan of 2000s romantic, like the 90s high school comedy movies, the 2000 movies like Mean Girls, John Tucker Must Die. Like, I was such a big fan of those movies. 10 Things I Hate About You. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that's my life. I watched Angus Thong's Perfect Snoggin thinking, okay, when I go, I'm gonna get
Were they in junior high though, or they were in junior high?
Yeah, but that
they were like 14, right?
Yeah, but
they were
then 14, they transitioned in high school. And they were like 14, 15, which is like ninth grade.
Yeah, that's true.
So they were around the same age.
Junior high, high schoolish.
Yeah, and I was much younger. Actually, I think I'm the same age as Robbie. But
we're not gonna talk about that.
Anyway, you know, I told myself I really like those movies. I thought I was gonna be that bitch. I thought that I was gonna be that girl, that super, super popular girl that everybody was gonna love. Just a fun loving, cool person dressed amazing. I should have known. This is the 2000s. They did not have the best fashion. Absolutely did not.
not.
Basically, you know what I really hated? The mini skirt and the leggings.
That was me.
I wore it too. I wore the dress and the sweater dresses and the leggings.
Oh my God. I wore, okay, in high school, I even wore like a long sleeve shirt and it was blue. And then I would wear a vest that was like a black and white skirt stripes and like a pattern hijab and like a pattern skirt. What was You see, when you reflect back at this time, you're just like, ew. Like, why?
But everybody had the matching hijab. The Somali girl style was matching the hijab with the skirt.
Oh, my God. Yes. I actually did not do that. I thought patterns were best.
And really?
Yeah, I love patterns. I probably abused patterns.
Really?
Yeah, I over-patterned everything. No wonder my style was awful. Yeah, when I grew up, by the time I got to high school, I definitely was not the most popular person.
So you thought you would be hot shit.
I was not.
And then you got to high school.
Shit.
You was ashy.
Bruh. Bruh, I was so ashy. It's so embarrassing. I didn't even know. I'm like, girls these days, they have it so easy with YouTube because YouTube shows them how to do makeup and stuff. I didn't have that. I didn't even know doing eyebrows was a thing.
Nobody. Take eyebrows out. Nobody knew that.
I did not know doing eyebrows was the thing. I literally thought the
No, people used to, thank God eyebrow wasn't a thing because they used to tweeze their eyebrows back in the days.
Yeah, but I don't know what they did in the 2000s because it was thin. That was the 90s. I was thin in the 90s. Yeah, it was.
I feel like the 2000s still had weird eyebrows.
Had some weird eyebrows, but
thank God. Eyebrows nowadays.
Mine was just free, and I don't have super.
I never touched my eyebrows until I was like 17. I think
I didn't touch my eyebrows until I was like 21. 20. I've had a really low. I'm a late bloomer.
Me too. Don't worry. So
yeah, no, you know, and I definitely was not top shit. Definitely was. Didn't know how to apply makeup. Mm-hmm. Braces, and I was definitely ugly and ashy. So, exactly. It's not the way what we're saying is how they say it, how it is in movies, how it is in television, how they tell you where you're growing up. It ain't like that.
Basically,
basically,
you were expecting to be peaked at high school.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all something. People who peaked in high school. What's good with them now?
They don't look the best now.
Yeah.
You want to peak. Facebook is just, you're like, yikes.
Yeah, you want to peak in college and after college, but high school peaking?
I wouldn't even say I peaked in college.
You didn't peak in college?
No.
I peaked like 19-ish.
What? Yeah. I didn't peak.
I peaked right after high school.
I probably peaked this past year. Because you just don't have a great year like that. You know that's just going to come down. If you have my luck. In college, you think that college years are going to be fun and you're going to meet all these people and like all these parties. And don't get me wrong, you still do that. But so much stress because everything's piling up. They never showed in
Nobody
the movies
talks about stress.
About the homework and the papers. They made it seem like it was so easy, but bro, that had me. Those papers, I'd be downstairs writing for hours just. Stress out reading.
By the way, I had no expectations out of high school. I didn't care. That's my expectation
at high school. I stopped caring when I knew that like college wasn't going. I really gained that freshman 15.
Oh really?
Yeah, I gained my weight. I
gained
college,
you know what's annoying? I gained weight the year before I was graduating.
I lost the weight the year I was graduating.
I look back at my graduation pictures and I was a little chills. Now I'm like, whew, thank God.
Oh my God.
But I just, the freshman 15 or the transfer 15 also, when
the
you transfer to schools.
The transfer 20.
And the school, like I transferred from schools and that was, I think, one of the like the biggest stress. Work-wise, the quality of the work changed.
Just and overall stressful, hard to keep up and do the whole social life on top of school life and stuff. So that sets you back. You're just like, oh my God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
No.
My expectation out of college, I would say the thing that I idealized was like, I'm going to have so much friends. Like, mind you, I had a lot of friends as a child. But I said, you know what? I'm going to have so much friends when I go to college. I'm going to do like just. I just imagined myself knowing a lot of the world, I think. And then I got to college and work was such an overload. Bro, can I tell you how I was the loneliest kid in college? I was by myself. majority of the time, literally from 18 to 22, I was by myself, y'all. I didn't do, like, Henny taught me the basement. I was there majority of the time. I became friends with my classmates, though. But I literally, I was walking them school hallways by myself. Like, I was, majority of the time, I was by myself, though. It grew on me eventually.
Yeah,
you get so used to it. I like being alone. Lonely.
I loved being alone.
Like, I loved it.
It was like my...
Perks? No, the perks would have been, my favorite thing to do is to go to a different campus.
Yep, and steal their free food.
No. No, I was going to say my favorite thing is to go to different halls, like in the campuses, go to different halls and discover new study places so that I can be by myself. And I was just, I loved being alone while studying.
I like that too. I just like finding a place where I could sleep and no one would bother me.
I can't.
I just love, I don't care if I sleep in public. I
set my schedule to 11 a.m. for some reason, 11 a.m. I had a class 10 a.m. and I was late every single day. Every Tuesday and Thursdays, I was late like 15 minutes. I can never made it up to my 10 a.m. It was 10 a.m. And I was like, this is reaching to me personally.
The last semester of my college, I had classes at, I think it was like 9. They were lucky if I got there on time. And that was one of those attendance classes. And I was like, you're lucky.
Was that the communications teacher that we both had?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She was not saying no names. But...
No, like I would try so hard. And she would look at me like with disgust, like you're late to my class again. Like, bro, I'm paying tuition. Why do you care? Like,
that's absolutely true.
Why do you care?
Oh, can I tell you, know, one thing I don't like about in college is if you're going to go to college or you're attending college, one thing I don't like is the standard of me. If I show up late, why do y'all make me feel guilty for showing up late?
Oh my God.
It's just the pressure to be on time. It's ridiculous.
I got called out on it. I was so shocked. I was like, damn.
You got called out?
Yeah, I got called out on it. They were like, you can't, don't be coming into class if you're going to be coming late.
Yeah. Oh,
I was like.
My heart.
Is this not my money that I put into this to be in class? Like,
you wouldn't basically have a teaching career if it wasn't for me paying for all these tuition money.
At this point, I'm your salary. You have no right to be talking to me like that. I'm just here to learn. Damn it.
No, I don't really like that. Like, I would feel so guilty if I was like 5 minutes or 2 minutes late to my class. I felt so guilty and I felt horrible. And I would always show up way earlier than I needed to be.
Yeah.
But it just, like, what is that expectation, though? I just don't like it.
Professors.
I don't like it. But also college, you do party, but it's like, nobody talks about the level of stress that it is to be in college.
In parties?
No, I'm talking about like, you would think like your party, you're going to have your social life.
There's no balance. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're absolutely right.
There's no balance.
That's absolutely right. I forget.
Because
that's the perfect way to put it.
You either get your proper sleep, social life, or you actually do well in school. And there's no way you could be able to do all three and survive. Like, I just don't think that was at all, especially with working. Like, I worked 2 part-time jobs and I did 20 credits to make up for a semester that I wasn't doing so well at. And like, I didn't even know how I managed to do that and survive.
I didn't even have a job like one of the years when I was in school, and that was still stressful. Like, school became my job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you had a job and if you don't have a job, for some reason, you're absolutely right. It is about the balance, because I couldn't balance nothing.
But maybe that's what it teaches you about being an adult. Like, just being able to prioritize what's necessary. Maybe, like, in a way, college taught you with this, knowing that, like, what you're able to do, like, as an adult.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're still learning ourselves. Like,
I have more free time now. As an adult, than I did in college.
That's actually really true.
I don't think it taught me anything about balance, because I was living before I got into college, and then I'm living after I graduated. Because it's literally, I don't know, for some reason, I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out my balance. I couldn't figure out how to actually set, like, I just couldn't figure anything out. And it bothered me, because I'm one of those people that, like, if something bothers me, I need an answer for it. And I will search. And I will search in college.
That's not me.
I just couldn't get an answer to figure it out. And it was just like, day by day, I had to take it.
I was just blessed to have graduated. Honestly, I was so blessed to have graduated.
That's true.
Here's the problem. After you graduate, you get this stretch. Let's talk about the post-college.
The wake-up slap.
Post-college is the biggest bitch slap to the face.
It is true. It is true.
It is... you expect that right after you graduate, all right, you're going to get this job. You're going to get this job that's paying a nice salary right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a liberal arts student, you're even praying that you you get that.
People believe in you, bro.
People believe they in believe you enough in your to dream. Showcase your work.
They're like, you know what? You worth it. You got a bachelor's degree. You we're going to pay you I like 40K.
As an art, which matters. Because, but like, as a, even just in general, like, just we're going to pay you 40K starting salary.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, dang, okay, for real.
I'm making 40K, okay. First year out of college, I got this.
Nice, decent apartment. I can do this. I can do that.
Yeah.
Nope, absolutely not. Take all that out. Mm-hmm. Because what actually happens is you're on Indeed.com searching for hours, revising that resume that you went to in your career class over and over and over again so that job can work. Redoing cover letters. You know how many cover letters you have to do? And changing the name.
I'm sorry, but if a job requires a cover letter, I don't apply.
I actually stopped doing that.
I'm just like, a cover letter? I was like, no, this is too much.
I did that right after college. I like was into the cover letter stuff. I would just change the nitty gritty, like their names and stuff. That's true. I wouldn't change much. But after a while, I was like, why are you demanding a cover letter? Like,
it makes no sense to get a cover letter.
If you accept me with my resume, can we move forward and then maybe you can see a cover letter or something at the interview? But then
cover, let's be real. Cover letters do not do anything.
I personally think they don't do anything.
They're like a little golden stamp.
Exactly.
It just doesn't do nothing. It proves nothing. It doesn't prove any qualifications or anything because everything that you need to prove is on your resume. Mm,
exactly.
Like everything you need to prove.
You're basically, you're just writing extra words as to why you need to be hired when that's please all really
me.
Inside.
That's all they're saying is please me. Teach
me. Teach me, please.
That's what they're requiring as a cover letter. Just be my little bitch. It's just, that's what it is.
And then there's after the whole resume thing. Then you're knocked up. Surprisingly, 6 months goes by like that. Quickly. On a snap.
Yeah.
And then the government goes, we want our money back. And you're like, what?
Hey, bro, I'm broke.
Huh? Are you, huh? Because you're still looking for a job this whole time. You still looking for a job. You probably get one of those weird spam pyramid schemes that tell you, hey, we're happy to get a job. We saw your qualifications on Indeed. Here you are. We think you'd be a great fit. You do the phone interview. You go to the first interview.
They're
you realize
stepping
there's something
up.
A little sketchy. You're like this. And then they hit you with that, oh, you'll have to work for minimum wage for, I don't know, 3 months. And then
to prove
as
that
a
you're
training,
worthy.
And then you get that $50,000 starting salary. And I'm like, huh? How? What?
And they have no set hours. They want you to work with
slavery, bro.
Yeah, basically, they want you to. Those scams, aren't they getting
pyramids? And they keep getting better and better at reaching people out. They recruit you like cult leaders.
That's true.
So, yeah, and then, like I said, the government's like, I don't care. I want my money back.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, take it easy. Like,
bro, it's like, I need 5 years of a grace period.
And then in the worst of it all is when you see a job that you really like, when you're looking at the application, like, it checks off all your bucket lists. And you're like, this is perfect for me, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Then you see the requirements, and it says a bachelor's degree, and then it says 5 years of experience, 4 years of this, 2 years. And I'm like, what?
I was in school the whole time.
What's going on?
Chill.
For real, like, it is the biggest bitch slap in the face. I genuinely think that post-college stretch where you're just still figuring out, you don't even know when at that time you'll be lucky. Honestly, there are some of us who are really lucky who get a job right after college. Good for you, whatever.
Hater. She's just hating.
I don't want to say anybody shine. I'm just like, you never struggled.
Yeah, that's true. No, and also the biggest, like, I'd say the second most bitch slap of a bitch is basically the pay. Like, I was telling Henny how it's like a kindergarten pay. When they see a bachelor's degree, they're like, child, hey, let me pay you like this much for these hours, and it makes no sense. And it's like, I was making much more money personally in my eyes when I was in school. Mm-hmm. Like, in my eyes, I'm like, I was making way much more money, and then now these salary bases, I'm like, you calculate it to versus what you were making in college, you're like, that don't add up.
Yeah,
that absolutely does not add up. They treat a bachelor's degree like...
They treat a bachelor's
you
degree...
You cute!
Like it's a...
Oh, I know what they treat like bachelor's degree. Like, you know, when you were a kid and you got a crush on a cute older person, they hit me up when you're 18. Okay, I got you. I'm a cop. That's what they treat a bachelor's degree with. They say, when you cute, holla at me. And you're like, but I am cute. Come on, talk to me. I need this.
That's how I'd be like.
No, I'm so sick of it. Like,
yeah, I mean, true.
It's honestly a headache because you're just like, are you serious? This mm-hmm. is just so insulting at this point. You're insulting me.
You're like, I put in all this. It's so, to me, I'm hurt because you put in so much work going to school. And then, like, for somebody to come and think that you're not qualified to get paid and that I much money is ridiculous.
Emily, I was telling you, too, about the thing. I was literally just telling you, like, 30 minutes ago about the picture I saw on Twitter.
Oh, go on.
The
yeah.
girl, there's this ad that they were hiring for a managing editor, which is a senior level, mid-senior level position. It was advertised on LinkedIn, but I saw it on Twitter. And it said it's an unpaid position. And you have to, and like the qualifications were just long, like the requirements of what you're going to do at the job. It was so long. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you mean unpaid. I have to oversee all this and this is an unpaid position? This is just, at that point, you're not even slapping somebody. You're just taking them, throwing them in the trash. That yeah. is, you're just, that's just so insulting. Throw that whole company away.
Yeah.
That company gotta go.
You know,
you must file for bankruptcy at that yeah. point. You must be bankrupt if you asking somebody to come in. Like, it could never be me.
I was gonna say that company is struggling.
They
you
must
struggling
be struggling.
And to think like how you? No, my question is, how did you guys sit there as a company and said, you know what's a great idea?
You know what we're gonna draft up?
What?
Let's hire a managing editor.
Mm.
And let's, you know what? We don't have any funds in our bank.
Yep.
I bet there's gonna be some scheme. There's gonna be somebody who's gonna say, hey, I'll do it for free.
Yep.
And
as
then
a grown adult,
the best thing we'll do for you in return is write you a recommendation or a reference.
Oh my.
That's what they'll say to you in return. A reference. And I'm just, is a reference gonna pay my bills, bitch? Like, for real.
No.
So mad.
That's so rude. Like, I think that companies need to understand, like, when you pay people and you take care of your people, they're happy to come into work and do their job right.
Exactly. If you just give them,
it doesn't hurt.
And it, you know that you'll succeed in the company and they'll do well because
it's kinda,
you're paying them good fee and then you know that they have the qualifications to get it. Like, trust people.
Nobody ever said, oh my God, I'm getting paid so much, let me come in and do a crappy job. Well, actually,
I feel like that's the people.
That's majority. I'm saying that's people who don't care. But I just think that if you take care of people and you pay them right, of course somebody's going to do their job right.
Of course.
And you treat them not just about the pay, but you treat them really well too.
Of course.
It's kind of like a relationship. People want to go back to people who make them feel good.
Mm.
And it's like if
not
you,
it's the best thing
it's,
though.
If you as a company ain't making somebody feel good, there's going
to
be a lot of high turnovers.
On to
you know,
the next company that's going to make them feel good.
Absolutely.
I can find somebody else.
They're like, you can, and you always will. Mm. Like, that's the thing. You always will. At the end of the day, you want me. So what's up?
So what? Yeah, at the end of the day, they're looking for somebody
you.
Like you.
Demand
for
demand
you.
Your
so
salary
you
rate.
Demand that.
Yeah, don't be. Here's the thing: if you're gonna go,
but unless you have no qualifications, like listen, if your resume is flat, like there's nothing.
How can
there.
Your resume be flat?
There are some people who've never done work, Amalie, who've never even done like internships.
That's some rich ish.
That's some privilege.
Kid.
That's what it is.
That is some.
And they, but
what's
they,
up to all you privileged? My bank account wants to be privileged with you. What's up? Let's be friends.
Let's be friends.
Literally. I think the most other shock thing that took me out after in post grad stage was the time. How much all of a sudden in my entire life I went from working, going to school, doing this. I was consistently doing something. I was very productive. I was very busy. To all of a sudden, you wake up. You go to work, you come back from work, and you're like, what do I do with this time? Like,
yeah,
the time...
That means you can definitely do something. Like, you can go out, you can have a good time.
Yeah, but it gets boring because think about it. And then your friends are on different work schedules.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
true.
And it just, like, that's what I was struggling with. It's like, everybody was on a different work
but
schedule.
These days, with the way, like, the economy's working out and shit, like, people are working multiple jobs.
Yeah.
Like, they're really hustling out here.
Yeah.
And especially if you have, like, a liberal arts degree and you're a photographer or a videographer or a filmmaker, you're working a job that you technically don't want to work. You know, you're doing some sort of retailing job.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But you're also side hustling your job so that you can make it out.
That's
so that's
true.
When time takes advantage
that's,
of everybody else. Because it's kind of
you
like,
wake up and you're like, yo, what the heck am I supposed to do with all this time? Like, it's a shock. Like, to go, I'm saying not only time, but it's a shock to go from being such a productive person
yeah.
to all of a sudden, like, whoa, like, what am I and who am I and what am I doing and what do I do with this time? And, like, you just go, it's like your purpose kind of, like, decreases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it does.
I'm not going to say.
Your motivation
and your creativity are the the first to go.
Yeah.
Because you have all this time after. I remember after college, like, I had so much ideas that I really wanted to do to make films and projects and stuff. That
I missed Penny when she graduated. It was lonely as it.
Did you cry?
Bro, the first.
Did you play One Wish? Did you sing in the rain?
No, I sang. No, I did Out of My System. You know what you do to me. I was like walking to school. It was lonely after you graduated for a couple months, but I've always liked spring semester more than fall. But my senior year, I liked both of my semesters.
Side note, are you going to go to the are you going to go to the Millennium Tour? I just found out they're not even coming to Minnesota. Minneapolis. They're going to Chicago.
Of course.
So I got, but
BTK, that means it's a good note. That means it's a trip to Chicago, that is, which I love Chicago.
I'm totally down to go.
Me too.
But here's the problem.
What?
B2K. Why are you charging tickets for
$500?
$500?
$500. I have no idea.
For good, decent seats, I'm looking at like $500 in Chicago. And I was like, damn. There's no B2K. This is not Beyonce.
They were charging $500.
I pay my rent for a Beyonce ticket, but I'm not going for a B2K.
I saw Beyonce for $80 and I went down. And I still got a good view.
I never even got a chance to go see Beyonce.
It was phenomenal. So well, actually, when Beyonce came here, Jay-Z did more work than Beyonce, so you didn't really miss out much. But her fits, though.
Ain't nobody trying to see Jay-Z at a Beyonce concert. I'm sorry, I love Jay-Z, but I'm here for Beyonce.
But I think she was sick or something, because he was out more than she was. But he held his own.
I mean, she's a phenomenal performer.
But her fits up.
But I'm dying to see B2K. Like, I'm dying to see B2K. It's not even B2K, too. It's B2K.
Okay, who's
Pretty,
coming?
Pretty Ricky.
Oh.
Lloyd.
Oh.
Chingy. Mario.
Right
Bobby
there.
Bobby Valentino. So you know it's a hit.
I just want to get to know you. He's so rude. And he said, but don't turn around with that pretty little.
You never really realize the songs. Like, you never really interpret the songs until
I knew
you get older.
Yes, I knew Slow Down was
like,
disrespectful.
I sang Slob on Your Knob as a young kid. And I did not know what any of that meant until later. And I was like, yeah.
Or Peaches and Creams.
Peaches and Creams.
That was the first time I learned
what
song.
Another song. There was a song about. I can't even remember, but there were so many songs where you're like, what?
You grow up.
That was about, like, Ego was a song. I mean, like, I actually kind of knew Ego, though. It was a sexual experience.
You know what song is really kind of, that nobody pays attention to, that's very, very disrespectful? What is it?
It's Space Your Mind.
No. Oh, my God. It's What's His Face? I Like It When You, not Chingy. But Back That Ass Up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, Juvenile?
Juvenile, thank you.
You were listening to Slow Motion, and you said
Slow Motion
like
was very, like, the second verse of it. I was shook. I was like, huh? He gonna beat her what? When? How come nobody ever paid attention? Like, Slow Motion, the second verse of it was very, like, that. I was shocked by that.
Oh,
you shaking your ass so much, you forget. You're like, wait, hold up.
My God. You know what? There's so many songs that you just...
I wish I could go back, like, back in the days just to make one disrespectful song. Just, I don't know what it would be about,
but
just...
when would it be? Like, the 90s or the
2000s? The 90s. No, definitely the 90s.
The 90s, I felt like you could definitely get away,
with it. I would just do one. I don't know what the disrespect would be about, but I don't know. It felt like something I wouldn't want to get away with.
Yeah,
it.
That's why I fucked your bitch. Fat mother.
Get money. I'm sorry, we're back to topic.
Okay, we really need to get on topic.
Postgrad.
Okay, so yeah.
So what's your final view on postgrad?
Postgrad, it ain't as I said. It's not like how it is on, you know.
You just have to get through it. Like, really, there's no other way but to experience it. You have to get through it.
But yeah, but that's what makes your 20s. Like, I guess in a way.
I felt my 20s
you
this
really
year.
Feel, you I really felt feel it. Your 20s. Yeah. You're like, wow, I didn't really know what that. You really feel that shit.
You know what? Something that was idealized as a child that's actually true is your 20s, especially your early 20s. And it's like they are absolutely. It's like a rut.
Well,
I feel
20s,
like it's
you're like
going through puberty
partying.
In a way.
You're like partying and having a good time.
But
and
you got adult responsibilities.
But then you're. Mid-20s is like, my adult responsibilities are kicking in more, but I still want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And then I think that's how it is until you're late. By the time you're 30, you'll figure it out. Like,
I don't want to figure out by the time I'm 30.
Look, I'm not going to say that it's all of us. Like, people will have it set before then, but like...
God, please make me one of those that have it set before then.
Or, you know, your 30s can still be the time of figuring out. But your 20s are definitely the decade of, like, self.
It's just, they're not lying actually when it comes to your 20s. Cause it's a, I'm personally, I was like, you know what? I know who I am. I have myself figured out. Da 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 da. I'm on top of my ish. After I graduated college, I was like, who am I? It's like, what's going on? I was like, I ain't motivated as I used to. I was so hard on myself. I was so hard. And I think that for after you graduate college, don't be too hard on yourself. Like, the one thing is, the world is going to beat you up regardless. You shouldn't be a part of it.
Exactly.
In my eyes.
Exactly.
Be kind.
100%.
You're going to have to go through it. So just be kind.
As long as you take care of yourself and take care of your mental health during that time.
Yeah.
I think you'd be good. Like, honestly, some of us feel like the post-college, I know that there's a feeling where you're like a failure because you're just like, I haven't gotten my stuff together yet. Like, I don't have the job I want. I don't have the car I want. I'm still living at home. All that stuff. But then you can't take it out on yourself. We don't live in the best economy. Like,
that's true.
You're not, nobody really has everything that they want unless they're handed a bunch of money. But like, if you're really hustling and working for it, like, go for your goal at the end of the day. Don't give up, because people started their careers later in life and they still boomed. I think it was like Harrison Ford, I think.
He
was
40s,
like,
right? Or
he 50s. Was in his 40s. Yeah, 50s. He was a carpenter up until he was in 40.
Morgan Freeman was in his 40s.
Ava DuVernay didn't even touch a camera until she was like 30. Yeah. So it's just, it's this period of self-reflecting and stuff, but you can't take it. You can't take it too personal.
Actually, you're absolutely right, Henny. Don't take it too personal. That's something that I did. I took it too personal that it hurt myself and my own ego.
Yeah.
I took it too personal. Like, I was like, it's my fault. And I was like, some things are out of my control. It's not all of it my fault.
You have to do the best you can and really just, I think good things will come to you. You know, as long as you're working hard and achieving the goal that you want to go, I'm not surprised that anything will happen. Like, it'll come.
Yeah. And you know what? I should tell this. It's going to pass. That's the best part, is it's gonna pass. And it's like, it's
that
a moment.
That rough slump is gonna pass.
It's gonna pass. Yeah. Because to me, when I was in it, I was like, this is forever. I was like, pain is life. I was so emotional.
You're back at your emo days.
I was eighth grade me. Ugh, this is it. It can only get better. It can't get better from here, you know? I literally dwelled in my pain. And it's not who I am. I don't do self-pity. Like, that's the one thing I don't do, is I don't. And I did a lot of self-pitying. And it just was like, it was a rut. I couldn't stop feeling bad for myself. And I was like, how does this go away? And it just does. Like,
it does. That
it
rut
goes
away.
Like, please, I'm telling you, I was there.
You just get,
it
you'd
goes
be surprised.
Away.
You get that call of a lifetime, and somebody's gonna see it and be like, yo, I really like your work. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, you just have to hustle. You know, you got this.
It's like, you'll be,
that rough spot will go away.
It absolutely. I came out and I'm here. So,
and she's here.
I'm here.
She's on the podcast for the first time.
Yeah. It's here. And also, one thing that I did that helped me out with, like, I started working out a lot more. Like, exercise was my way of
dealing
with it.
That's the one thing I'm going to get myself into this year, because
I
actually
out.
Am so glad, like, even though I didn't achieve that goal of getting the perfect thick body, even though I didn't achieve that goal, I'm actually really glad that I went to the gym this year 7 times.
7 times? Oh, my God.
I know you guys are, I know people are going to come at me for this.
Actually, some people don't go to the gym, so don't worry.
I never went to the gym prior to, and I don't really like working out. And if I gain weight, I gain weight. If I lose weight,
I lose weight.
Right, I'm not gonna shame my body anymore. I think I put my body through enough. So
facts.
So I went to the gym 7 times, 2 times because I saw Q-Boy. But other than that, I went to the gym 7 times and I did my workout. And
working out is such a good.
I plan on tripling that 21 times.
But like, I'm gonna tell you, I struggled with building like the intent to work out a lot more, right? But I don't know, for this year, I just like got into it. And because, you know what I realized? I always feel really, really good after I work out.
Yeah.
And I like that feeling. It's like such a,
a peaceful feeling.
It is. It's very calm. It's very, very calm.
I'm going to get into that. I'm going to find the perfect playlist to listen to for my,
I call my playlist the body hours.
The body hours?
Yeah, it's called body hours. I have snap your fingers. You can do it all by yourself. That's literally, and then it gets you going.
You just always have to listen. I always listen to some, like, what do I listen
to? The Yang Yang Twins is good.
The Yin Yang Twins.
Good. That makes me want to, okay.
In my junior high school, I knew.
I wanted to be them.
I was out here really working it for them. It was like, it wasn't like I was like, put. I was, you can really sweat with the yin yang and yin.
Especially salt shaker.
Yes, absolutely.
Like just even the fire alarm, the fire alarm behind it, that just makes you or like I forgot how salt your salt shaker started. No, I don't know if I'm doing it right, but
I know what
it
you
gets.
Mean.
It keeps. It gets you. That's a good.
Back that ass up is another one. That you just like all of a sudden out of nowhere you got energy. Doesn't
like
matter
the,
if you
I like how they did the. It's the nine. What is it?
That Prince Harry one with the back that ass up.
No, I like the
Twitter is my favorite.
Mine's is the Obama one. He goes back and he's like, and then you're about to leave. The DJ starts playing. I forgot the intro how it went.
Oh yeah, yeah. With it goes dun dun dun.
Yeah, and
dun.
then you hear and then you see Barack Obama going like he touches his suit and if he forgets something he goes back to the White House. That's my favorite one.
Yeah,
because that took me
the
out.
The Prince Harry one is forever.
Even the Prince Harry one is funny. It's just he, what is he dipping for?
All right. Well,
anything else
anything
for post grad?
I don't have any post grad stuff to say. I pretty much said what I need to say. As
I
long
experienced
as you believe in you doing your hustle. And you got this. Just everybody has that rut. Just know that as long as you keep doing you, follow what you want to do, I know you got this.
As a recent post-grad rut recipient, you'll get through it.
You'll get through it.
Mine was this year. And I don't want to discuss 20, whatever it was.
I had mine in 2017.
It's always the year after you graduate.
It's always the year after you graduate.
All right.
In conclusion,
to the what?
To the show.
To the what?
It's time to introduce our Lady of the Hour and our
MCM. Okay, we haven't figured out a name.
Yeah, we will. Eventually, we'll find a really sexy name.
But for right now, it's MCM.
It's Lady of the Hour.
And our MCM.
Today's Lady of the Hour, or this week's Lady of the Hour, is Priyanka Chopra. She is, first of all, an actress, a singer, an all-around entertainer, and now wife to Nick Jonas.
Can you repeat the last one for me?
Wife to Nick Jonas. She crushed the hearts of so many of us.
Yep, I was true Joe Bro fans.
Oh my God. Priyanka Chopra, baby girl, you are doing so well. You had such a great 2018, and I wish you nothing but a great 2019. I hope your career pops. I hope that I see more TV shows with you. I hope everything goes well. I hope you and Nick have some beautiful babies. If you decide to name it Henny, I'm totally with it. Or I can be introduced as a throuple. I'm happy to be a member of the couple. We can be a throuple. We can totally sail off to the sea together, all three of us. It doesn't matter. I just want to say you are my lady of the hour. You shine and do well.
Oh, prosper.
Thank you, Priyanka.
And my MCM would be Milo Ventimiglia.
Ventimiglia.
I'm saying it right.
Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah, he's basically just my MCM because I had a dream about him last night, and that concludes my reasoning. And he's really gorgeous, and
he's
aging.
So beautiful.
He's aging.
He ages
phenomenal.
So well.
I mean, just
I don't know what kind of white he has in him, but it's working.
It's dark chocolate, girl, up in there.
That's white chocolate.
White chocolate.
White chocolate.
Well, white chocolate is technically
chocolate.
So. I'm
Milo,
not chocolate for him, too, though.
Milo, I'm happy for you to be an addition to my reproductive system.
Henny, he's my MCM.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's my MCM
right I won't
now.
Steal your shine. Okay, go ahead and say what you want to say to Milo.
Anyways, Milo is the type of guy that usually you got to think twice before you have children with anybody. But Milo is the type of guy that you just got to give a couple babies to and then think about marriage later on. He just has that effect. He looks like he'd be a good father.
So
I just want him to hug me. I don't want nothing more. Just
Milo.
Caress me.
Caress me.
Love me. Endlessly. Unconditionally.
Okay, we get it.
So that's my man.
All right. And with that concludes our episode of Pow Talk Real Talk. Stay tuned for next week. We'll talk about really cool stuff. You'll get to know us a little bit more.
Yep.
Who knows? Whatever. That's.
Yeah, and we are your hosts.
Henny and Emily. Be kind to each other. Take care of your mental health and do something good.
And write goals.
And tell Shanti love me. And that's it. Bye.